podcasting bigger, louder, larger, and on time. Tom and Matt Attack. So, I may have dropped the ball slightly this week, Thomas, with our podcast, in the fact that there will now be two episodes going up at once, because I was rather busy and I didn't get a chance to edit last week's. So, you may have actually already have listened to last week's podcast, which is also today's podcast, as is this one.
What?
Two for one, Tom. Two for one.
Now
supermarket.
I'm confused.
Buy one, get one free, except you don't pay any money. So, it's all free, all of the time.
Yeah. A How nice spin on not having a podcast last week.
Yeah, but you've got one now. It's fine. You can hear all the things we talked about.
Well, really, in a way, you know, everyone might just thought we were still on holiday.
Perhaps. Did anyone miss us, Tom? Did anyone miss
Let
us?
Let us know if you missed us and our apologies. But we're back in full flow this week.
Yeehaw.
And I'm doing good. Lovely weather here in Denmark, just slightly. A little warm.
A little on the toasty side, yes.
Warm. I'm not going to complain about that because, you know, when the sun's out, you feel good. At least I have done this weekend.
Exactly.
You know?
It's
not,
good.
Not wanted to play many video games, actually.
I haven't much this week, Tom, hence why we haven't really had a podcast up and ready. But I'm sure we still have plenty to talk about from our wonderful weeks away.
We do, and I have plenty of purchases.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah. Did they strain your wallet that much?
No, actually. In fact, there's a lot of them, but a gaggle of bargains this week.
A gaggle of bargains?
Xbox collecting.
Oh, really?
Original Xbox games, yeah.
I had a weird dream that I bought a load of Xbox games last night.
Did you?
Yeah. Oh. Why are you buying Xbox games?
I'm living your dreams for you.
Thank you. Someone has to. Yeah, why are you buying Xbox games?
Because, you know, I mentioned on previous podcasts...
Yes.
That you might just listen to.
That you will have listened to now, obviously, because you've listened to everything
in
sequential order.
Unless you choose to listen to this one first.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe then you should go back and find out why. But I want to know. I want to know.
I want to know. Yeah. I mentioned last time that I'd compiled a list of games that I felt like I was missing from my console.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And for some reason this week, I decided to focus on the Xbox.
Right.
And so I went through, and I think it's always very tempting to buy stuff because it's cheap.
Yes.
You know, first of all, I saw an Xbox game that I was after that was too expensive.
What was it?
I want Ultra Bubble Bobble. Not Bubble Bobble. Super Buster Move. Ultra Buster Move.
Okay.
Super Ultra Buster Move.
TM.
Ultra Buster Move. I always say Bubble Bobble when I meant to say Buster Move. I think it's because I see those dinosaurs and...
Yeah, Bubba Mob. It's also the fact that it was originally called Puzzle Bobble when it came out during some territories.
Oh, yeah, that'll be why.
That's probably
anyway,
throwing in.
I saw that. Ultra Buster Move. £15 original Xbox game.
Must be quite a rare one.
I guess it was. So I ignored that for the time being. Don't want to spend that much. So I got a few. Don't know what I got.
Okay, go for it. Let us know.
Tron 2.0 Killer App.
Game I've always been curious about.
£5.
Curious, not too bad.
Galleon.
Galleon is the pirate game.
Yeah, a game I've always been curious about.
Yes.
£3.50.
That's all right.
Jaeger. That thing with the
Shots.
No.
Okay, no, I don't know.
It's a very good looking Xbox kind of simulator space game with very nice graphics.
Okay.
£3.
Interesting.
Mad Dash Racing.
I've never
a launch title for the Xbox, I think.
Oh, is this the one you were talking about? It's kind of got a top-down.
No, this is it's a racing game from behind, but there's no vehicles. It's animals running.
Okay.
Do you remember this one? It's like a warthog on the cover.
I do not. To be honest with you, I did not pay a lot of attention to the Xbox at launch.
Crystal Dynamics. It can't be half bad. I've always been intrigued about that. Well, for £2.33.
Well, yeah, for £2.33, you can't really.
All these prices are including postage, by the way.
Bloody hell, really? Yeah. So you've been picking up these games for like a quid?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not far off. Wow.
Excra. which is Extreme G.
Bless you. Yeah, it's the one with the girl with the blue hair, is it?
No, that's Extreme G3. Okay. This is the one after Extreme G3, which strangely wasn't called Extreme G4.
I did not realise there was one after Extreme G3.
I like Extreme G.
I thought Extreme G was alright.
I have all of them. $3.95 for Excra.
Yeehaw.
Another game I was curious about. Star Wars Obi-Wan.
I'm glad that isn't what I thought he was. I thought he was Shadow the Hedgehog from Upside Down.
I already have that, Matthew.
I know. Obi-Wan, okay. So
it's a third-person action game.
I assumed
Obi-Wan
it would be.
Based around... I think it's some sort of unique story. I don't think it's...
Does it have Ewan McGregor's vocal talents?
That I don't know.
Or is it someone impersonating Ewan
McGregor? The box is black and green, very suitable for Xbox. Xbox exclusive, as far as I know, unless it was on PC as well.
Maybe. Now that the lines between Xbox and PC are blurred once more, it could have also been on the PC.
Predator, Concrete Jungle. £4.50.
Okay, interesting.
I watched Predator 2 recently.
Yeah?
I remember this being, I think it's an open world game.
Do you play as Danny Glover?
No, I think he played the Predator.
Then who cares?
That was, I think, all the Xbox games. Have you picked up anything for your Xbox, then?
Well, no. Fortunately, I haven't picked up anything for my Xbox.
Well, you haven't an Xbox here in Denmark.
I don't have an Xbox here in Denmark. I almost bought one once. I did see one in a charity shop a couple of months ago. I also saw an Xbox controller quite recently in a charity shop, though I shall let you know what that is, because it was only 10 kroner for a minty new Xbox controller. Yes.
Ooh, not the Duke, as they call it.
Not the plate, no.
Yeah, I had a story about when I went back to the UK over summer. I have a problem with my Xbox. It's a very common issue. The disc tray. It doesn't come out.
Damn it.
Unless you... What?
I was going to say, a very common problem with your Xbox. It's a shit console.
It's not at all.
Oh, it is.
Not at all. Much better than the PS2.
It's a good emulation machine.
Oh, I don't know what you're on about, Matt.
Halo 2 is the only good game on the Xbox.
Oh, I think you need to get playing some other Xbox games.
I have many original Xbox games.
That was quite good.
I have not played a Togi. I had not played Ninja Gaiden either. So
it's great. Project Gotham. I know you don't like racing
Knights
games,
of the Old Republic, Jade Empire.
It depends what you're into. I mean, there were a lot of good Sega exclusives, like Panzer Dragoon, Otra
was all right.
And Gun Valkyrie was interesting. Jet Set Radio Future
was all right.
Crazy Taxi 3.
Not shit. Lacking in decent quality titles, in my opinion, as compared to the PS2.
Yeah, but if I had to buy a version, I'd buy the Xbox version because it's better.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, not by much.
Enough for me.
I don't really notice the difference, to be honest with you.
Fair enough. But yes, when I was back home, I bought another Xbox because of my disc tray. I found a crystal one in a charity shop for £15.
I have a crystal Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
That's how late I was to the Xbox game. I bought it purely for Halo 2.
Yeah, it's quite a popular one, the crystal one. It was £20, but someone had stolen the controller from a charity shop.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is lovely, isn't it?
Awesome.
So they gave me £5 off it, fully guaranteed. Oh, fair enough. Got it home and all. Found it's still got the same disc tray problem. So
really?
It proves how common this disc tray thing is. There's fixes on YouTube, I found out. It's that you can replace a rubber band or something in the disc tray, it'll fix it. So I'm going to have to go and fit around my old Xbox. But this one I thought would be cool. And I thought, you know, I've said it before, I like having two versions of a console.
Well, if you...
And different looking ones.
...were to soft mod your Xbox, you could have a pretty damned good emulation machine out of it. As was the case when I went to Cambridge a couple of months ago, and that ended up making me buy Dino City, if you remember.
Mm. Well, I could have one for that.
You could,
And one as a regular Xbox.
You could.
But not this one, because the disc didn't even work. It wouldn't read discs either.
You don't need it to read discs, Tom.
Oh.
Because it's running off of the hard drive.
Oh, that's interesting then.
It is.
So it is useful for something, perhaps.
It is, yeah.
I might not take it back then.
No, I don't think you need to.
£15 crystal Xbox. It had no controller, though. I do have two. Anyway, yes, that was my little Xbox story.
Yes.
But I think it's a fine console.
I haven't really picked up a lot either this week. My Singer sewing machine for my Game Boy, my Singer Ezek, has finally arrived. I opened it up. I checked it's all there. It's all in pretty good nick. Box is still intact, even though it was shipped in the box, which is a bit annoying. I thought it would have been packaged, but it's fine. As I said, the Game Boy was missing, but the cart was there, the instructions were there, everything was there, all the needles, all of the bits and bobs, even a VCR of how to work the Singer ESEC, which I will never watch because I would need a VCR player.
I've got one at home.
No, you have a VHS at home, Tom.
VCR?
VCR is the American format of VHS tapes. America has a different format.
It'll play American VHS.
Will it?
Because there's, Fatal Fury, I've got American tape.
Interesting.
And that plays on my video player.
Okay. Maybe the later ones didn't matter then because there was a problem with the frame rate. Same with old console games.
You can always try it, Matt, if you want.
You can give it a go. I just don't want a video to get eaten, that's all.
Oh, my tape player doesn't eat videos.
You say that now. I've seen the video online anyway. It's just kind of like a really, really 90s, like, dissolves and...
Oh, it sounds fun.
Quick
in
zooms.
In Japanese?
No, in English.
Oh.
It's American.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, you said it was American.
It's very hip-hop. Yeah. It's a very hip-hop video of how to work a Singer sewing machine, even though this thing came out in the 2000s. So, it's very interesting.
Wow, yeah.
But it seemed all right. I put the cartridge through its paces. I designed a few things that may or may not have been phallic on it just to test the tool
for
designing stitches. Yeah, it seemed pretty intuitive.
Okay, explain how it works, because I know maybe people listening don't understand.
So,
what this sewing
machine
is.
Singer ESEC sewing machine is quite a rare peripheral for
it's a peripheral
the Game
for
Boy
a game.
Color.
Yeah.
Initially, it shipped with one. Unfortunately, mine didn't come with one, but fortunately, I already had a teal Game Boy Color. So
it has to be teal. Or is it someone?
No, it doesn't. essentially, when you operate a regular sewing machine, you have a foot pedal. You hold that foot pedal down to make the machine go, and you press it up
yes,
to stop
that's
it.
That's right, yeah.
On this, you use the Game Boy. It has a cable that comes out of the back to it and links into the exit port, i.e. where you plug the link cable on a Game Boy Color. And then you have a cartridge, which is a Singer ESEC sewing machine cart. You turn that on, and you can either just use it as a pedal, so you can either hold
press
down the
button.
A button instead of feeding the machine, or you can program it to do certain things for you, such as embroidery. There are a selection of stitches and things you can have,
clever.
So you can make it do funky stitches that would take a lot of skill to do yourself. And then you can also program in embroideries your own patterns on a
It makes you wonder if there's a modern equivalent to this for a tablet, an application perhaps.
Perhaps, I assume
work
so.
With modern sewing machines.
Yeah, to be honest, this one seems to be pretty under the radar of a lot of people. Like, unless you're deep into your Game Boy like I am, I showed
so
it to a lot
into
of
your sewing.
People. Well, like, I think even like sewing people, like fanatics of sewing machines, wouldn't really be that familiar with it because it seems to be somewhat an obscurity. It was mainly sold to economics classes in the US as a means of making sewing cool and hip with the kids, probably why the video's like it is. And yeah, to all intents and purposes, it seems to be in a bit of a flop, other than, like I said, selling
it's a fairly out there idea.
It is. But it's pretty cool. I showed it to our good friend Per Farger, who was very excited by it.
Oh, really?
And said, I often think of myself sometimes as a Nintendo peripheral, which is very profound and very apt, since he's a man who makes cross-stitches of large-scale embroideries of video games. Yeah.
Check him out online.
You should. He's on Instagram, and you can find him on the web. We interviewed him many moons ago.
Yeah, maybe we have to write his name.
Yes, we will somewhere. Pop it in the description. Yeah, but it seems pretty interesting, so I had a faff with that. I also picked up a bootleg called King of Fighters 2003, which essentially seems to be an port or an attempted port using the sprites of a Neo Geo Pocket Color King of Fighters game onto the Game Boy. It runs like shit, but the sprites are pretty impressive.
Interesting. Have to see
yeah,
that.
You can have a look. Other than that, I picked up the Hurricanes for the Super
Say
Nintendo.
That again.
The Hurricanes!
The
champion
spirit
is here to stay. Yeah, that. It's made by
based
Probe.
On a kids' TV based show that we both fondly remember.
Yes.
Or maybe fondly is not the right word. I don't
quite like the theme tune.
Yeah.
Like, I remember watching it on CITV, which is a British television channel.
Kind of lump it with Highlander, the animated series, somehow.
I didn't even watch Highlander, the animated series. Right, okay. Yeah, it's about footballers who save the world. It's kind of in my head with that wrestling-themed show with Rowdy Roddy McPiper was the bad
McPiper.
Guy.
McPiper.
Yeah, he's not Rowdy good, Roddy Mick. Piper. God damn it. Yeah,
rest his soul.
Yes, rest his soul. Rest in peace, Rowdy Roddy. Yeah. He came out to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and he's all out of gum. They Live is a fantastic film. I don't know what the hell that was. It was something to do with Hulk Hogan, I remember. But that, hey, tangent.
A wrestling TV, I can't. I vaguely remember something.
Yeah.
Animated show with yes. wrestlers. Wow. Yeah, I'll have to look that up.
Roddy Piper was like the bad guy, and I'm pretty sure Hulk was a good guy. I think Macho Man Randy Savage may also be the bad guy.
Isn't he a good guy?
I don't know. I don't think
Legion
so.
Legion of Doom would be bad guys.
Probably. I don't think they were in it, though. I don't think it was that.
I remember them as figures, though.
Yes, they were very
around
cool.
that same time.
Yes.
With the red and the black spikes. Ultimate yeah. Warrior's got to be... was he
I'm
a good
guy?
I'm
not sure if he was in it, actually.
Because he was obviously very cartoon-friendly sort of character.
Yes, he was.
Brightly coloured and exciting.
It's called Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling.
Oh, of
was
course
the name
it's...
of the show. Yeah, it was actually an 85 show, but it was on...
I watched an introduction for the new WW... Is it called WWE or
it's
now?
It's WWE now, yes.
Yeah, or is it just called WW? I swear I thought it changed again. Anyway, one with ring entrances for the the latest gen of consoles, and the subtleties in the movements and even his facial expressions. I was quite impressed. He was very smiley, but it's the little things, the little movements of these characters that seem to be able to capture so much better than they used to.
I guess it's all mocap now. I guess they're probably getting better at it with the new hardware.
It's so little things.
Yeah,
that's quite cool. That's why I mentioned it.
Fair enough. But yeah, I've been pretty skint, so I picked up the Hurricanes to Super Nintendo. I haven't had a chance to play it yet because my Super Nintendo's
you picked
bust.
It up, you say, because it is usually more expensive.
It's a pretty obscure game. I got it for £10 posted, which is a very good price for a box copy, but it seems... If it was the US copy, it would be an exceptionally good deal because that seems to sell for in the region of about £300-£400. Whereas this one's more around the £50-60 mark. It's a very obscure game in the US, but
gosh.
Less so in Europe. I guess the show had more airing over here. So,
well, I guess soccer's more popular over here than it is in the States.
True.
If it was about American football or ice hockey, Mighty Ducks, maybe it would have been more popular.
Oh, man, what? Is there a Mighty Ducks game? There isn't, is there?
I don't know.
I hope there is. We'll have to research that. What else have you been buying?
Okay, a couple of other things. Went out this weekend, just had a little wander around town, and I picked up a few things. Firstly, Need for Speed Rivals for the PS4 for 150 kroner.
That's nice.
From a shop called Fona.
Yeah.
Data listeners will be familiar with Fona. Although, a little bit disappointed because when I got it home... the sales assistant put the wrong game in the box, put in Call of Duty Ghosts.
Really?
I don't know how this happened. So I just wandered back into town and it was strange. It wasn't swapped over straight away either.
No?
I saw a guy behind the till, not the guy who served me, it was a girl who served me earlier. I said, I bought this earlier, but it's got the wrong game. And I said, you buy it today? I said, yeah. And he looks at the receipt. Okay. And he walked off. I said, He went to speak to the girl who served me. And there was a long conversation between the two of them about this. And I heard the words Need for Speed, Call of Duty. Like, he was giving a bit of a telling off or something.
Yeah.
And then he moved to the back of the store and another guy joined him. And they stood around the PS4 games for a while. And they took a load of copies of Need for Speed off. I think it was Need for Speed off the shelf.
Yeah.
And then I saw the guy who, I'd initially made contact with come over to me. He's like, okay. He just walked past me to another customer. I was like, what's going on here? I was thinking as I was waiting at the till. And then the other guy who joined them later kind of walked behind the till. I thought, maybe he's going to tell me what's going on. He just ignored me as well. So I'm sitting there. The girl, eventually, I see her go downstairs into the stock room. And she comes back up with the game.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm terribly sorry about that. There you go.
So they didn't bother explaining what it was or why?
Yeah, I could have asked, I suppose. I was happy to get the game. But it did leave me wondering, what on earth was going on there?
That's really weird.
I noticed that the price of the game was different. And inside, they put it in a little plastic bag inside the case.
Yeah.
And they'd sealed that plastic bag with a sticker. And it said 220 Need for Speed. And yet, it was clearly priced up as 215. 250. No, 150.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, very peculiar.
So you're thinking maybe that the price was actually for ghosts and then...
But ghosts I knew was 150, yeah. Because it said that inside. Again, it was packaged with the price on the bag.
Maybe the ones on the shelf then, the Need for Speed Rivals, had been incorrectly priced with the ghosts label.
Yeah, but the label clearly said Need for Speed Rivals on it underneath the price.
Okay.
Anyway, it's beside the point. It's pretty cool. It's very similar to Hot Pursuit. It's Hot Pursuit basically mixed with something like Burnout Paradise or the most recent Most Wanted game.
Yes.
It's open world, but it's not in a city. It's in the wilderness, as was Hot Pursuit, the more recent Hot Pursuit, that is.
Okay.
You play as cops, you play as racers, illegally racing.
Yeehaw.
And you can play online, you know, where you're driving around as cops, other people are cops as well, and other people are racers.
Are there people playing it online still?
Yeah. That's interesting. It's people playing online. It's okay. Not that old. I know the new one's coming out soon, but at the minute, I think it's the only Need for Speed game on there. And as a game which I think was developed by an offshoot, in association with Criterion.
Okay.
I think Ghost is half of Criterion, who were given the task of working on Battlefield Hardline.
I believe so, yeah. Because
they split the studio in two.
Yeah.
So I guess they did all the driving stuff in Hardline. Anyway, I think that's the people who made Ghost.
Okay.
But essentially, it's still Criterion.
Yeah. Okay.
Not bad. I think for the price, it's a good game. I was looking for a racing game on the PS4. And Drive Club really wasn't satisfying me. I kind of fell out of favour with it.
No, I went into the shop and actually saw they had the special edition of Drive Club.
Yeah, I saw it.
And in my head, I was like, wow, I wonder if that one actually works. I wonder if that's what's
special
about
it. I mean, it works. I just don't like the handling.
Yeah?
I kept going back to it and trying to do what was only like the third race you can do on the PlayStation Plus version, which isn't the full game. And I just couldn't get a grip with it. And I really like racing games, and I feel like all right at them because I've played them quite a lot. This one, I wasn't feeling it.
Have you played any Project Cars?
No, I didn't go for that. Initially, I was quite excited and I heard some less than favourable stuff about it, that it was very simulator, you know, and Forza is simulator enough for me.
Okay, but there are some people in work you should chat to who aren't really that into cars who really enjoy that.
Like Project Cars?
Yes.
Because it's still expensive, which has totally deterred me from picking it up.
And unfortunately, there won't be a Wii U version now, and that's been cancelled.
It's been cancelled?
Yes. They could not get it to run on the hardware, they said. They've said they're deeply sorry, but it just can't be done to the quality they wanted to.
Or it's not a viable business option.
I don't know about that. Like... Who knows?
I'm going to be picking up Need for Speed Most Wanted on the Wii U. Heard it's the definitive version.
That's interesting.
And it's very close to Burnout Paradise. So.
Yeah.
But that's quite a sought-after game as well. People want that one.
Yeah, okay.
I also picked up Lego Rock Band Wii. Now, you may remember I mentioned I picked this up before.
Yes.
Before I went, I think I'd ordered it before I went to the UK. When I got back to the UK, it arrived, but the disc didn't work.
Yes.
So they gave me a refund. They said, do whatever you like with the disc. So it's still sitting there.
Frisbee.
In the UK. but I did pick it up for 39 kroner, just shy of, like £4.
Whatever. Yeah.
And it's really good, although it looks like shit.
Yeah.
That's the problem with it. I mean, I can look past it because most of the time he's concentrating on the notes. But what plays in the background appears to be video rather than in-game graphics. I don't think it's the same on 360 or PS3.
Yeah.
But it just looks a little bit fuzzy and ropey. And there's actually noticeable ghosting lines across
Really?
Yeah. But it doesn't inhibit the enjoyment of the game, which is Lego and Rock Band fit together very well. There's such good attention to detail. If you imagine Rock Band 2 being reimagined, all the menus as well, with real great design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They'll take that big tiger at the start of Rock Band 2, and they turn it into Lego, and even down to the coloured notes as they fly by, the little Lego bricks with studs, and it's got a great tone to it. And don't be deterred if you think it's going to be an easy version of Rock Band, because it can be if you want it to be.
Yeah.
You can put it on a very easy mode where you can't really fail. But then again, if you play it as standard without changing any of the options, it is quite challenging as the other Rock Band games can be. So
that's pretty cool.
£39. I also picked up Manhunt 2, actually.
Oh, really?
For the Wii for £49.
I'm not sure if I should let you in my house then, because that's going to turn you into a violent individual.
Oh, yeah. God, reading about the controversy surrounding that game. Yeah. And how it was a year later it got released in Europe after the States.
Yes.
Even that was a problem with, what's his name? Jack Thompson, is it?
Yeah.
Kicking off about that one.
Yeah. Before he was disbarred.
Oh. And the problem in the UK was there'd been a crime that had been connected to the original Manhunt.
Yes.
And so...
Connected is a very loose term, though, with that.
I think it was proven that it wasn't a part of the
case
at all.
Yeah, of course it wasn't.
Yeah. But it is an unpleasant game. I mean, there's no getting around the themes of...
It's a murder simulator.
...of Manhunt.
That game exists for controversy.
And it certainly got enough controversy. I think the version that's available on PS2 and Wii is censored.
It is.
The only version I think is left uncensored. There's PC, I think.
I believe so,
yeah. There's an uncensored version of PC. I don't know if that's even officially released or not.
I believe that was leaked from what I remember. At the
there
time.
Were hacks to get to take censorship out of the PSP and PS2 versions, maybe even the Wii version.
But
as
who
well.
Cares? Who wants to? Like,
yeah.
I don't even really want to play that game. It's one of those things that when it came out, like, I remember seeing a shitload of copies of it in my local Blockbuster of people trading it in.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't want to. Who wants to play Manhunt?
I mean, I was intrigued by it because, you know, I've been reading a little bit of stuff about it. And I thought, well, I'd like to try it at least. And at 5, you know, I thought, well, let's give it a go. Some of the things at the beginning of that game, ultimately shocking. As you're in, an asylum.
Yeah.
And the prisoners have all escaped. They're broken out of there. There's a lot of really violent people running around.
Yes.
And you're a guy who isn't actually that violent. Apparently you've forgotten, you lost your memory. So maybe you were violent to begin with, but the idea for you as a character of killing someone is a little bit, you know, extreme.
Yes.
But there's this guy who's guiding you around, and he says, you know, to survive, you've got to, you know, you've got to kill people.
Yeah.
As you walk down one of the first corridors, you pass a couple of cells, and the first guy pisses on you, and the next guy throws his shit at you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. This is what I'm saying. Like, this is...
So far, yeah, it's a bit of a video game nasty. And also on the Wii version, before you do anything, it gives you a rundown of the controls. And it, you know, tell you to thrust the Wii remote forward to stab.
Yeah.
And it makes their noises, you know, like you're like being poking a body with a blunt object.
Yeah.
Like that. And then you do several different actions. For like a lot, you know, you have to do them lots of times.
Yeah.
You feel a bit weird, like that, you know. Yeah, it's an odd one. I'm intrigued to play a little bit more. I've heard, you know, the story's not too bad, actually.
Yeah.
The writing's quite good. The characters are quite well realised.
I would imagine it is. It's a Rockstar game, but at the same time, yeah. I don't want to just gratuitously murder people. Like,
there was a scoring system in it to begin with, but that was taken out.
Yes.
Because of the controversy. The more brutal the kill, the higher the points.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never got that far in original Manhunt. I'd heard this was better than original Manhunt, so that's
I don't
why
know.
It's
one of
it
the few games that I have absolutely no interest in.
You'd like to see it?
I don't care. Like I, it was released purely for shock. I think in the wake of like all of this Grand Theft Auto 3 controversy that was going on. Like
it was put into development right after Manhunt was released.
Yeah, but I mean, the first Manhunt seems to me to be a game that was released for like. Hey, if you think this is bad, wait until you see this.
Yeah.
Because controversy sells. I just no interest in it.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's interesting, though, because, I mean, like, you play a God of War game or something along those lines. There's pretty brutal deaths in there. But, like, that's not the focus of the game. That's not the selling point.
Yeah, that's interesting because I was talking to our good friend Austin about it yesterday.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm not so into violent games. I haven't even played, God of War.
Yeah.
He said, I don't really know what that's, you know... It's a bit violent and all. So, well, God of War, different kettle of fish, really.
Yeah, but I mean, not really.
Because it's fantasy, in a way.
Yeah.
And it's over the top, and it's like, I think this is more close to, you know, reality in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it is exaggerated.
I mean, I played, like, Condemned, and Condemned is obviously this kind of similar idea, and there's some brutal deaths in Condemned. I felt uneasy playing that because of how... realistic
I used to feel uneasy playing Grand Theft Auto back in the day.
GTA's always had that cartoon aura to me of just like, this is ridiculous, I'm going to get as many stars as I can.
Do you ever play The Suffering? That's the only thing I can compare.
No, I didn't play The
Manhunt
Suffering.
Because really, Manhunt 2 takes a lot of cues from The Suffering.
Suffering.
Which is kind of interesting, Suffering.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
Cover always sticks in my head very vividly.
The original Suffering. Yeah. I might have only played the sequel, actually. The Ties That Bind.
Yes.
So I picked up those two. And picked up The Woods, not enough for the N64.
Yeah, that was on your list from last week.
Was it?
It was, yeah. You did mention it. We talked about it.
Well, I bought it.
Good.
What's this one? Fatal Fury Battle Archives Volume 2.
Four.
For the PS2. It's the second of the retro Fatal Fury compilations.
Yes.
The first being the Battle Archives Volume 1. That was released in Europe. I was always disappointed that Battle Archives Volume 2 never got a release outside of Japan and the States.
Yeah.
So I picked that up. That was a price.
Now you have a US PS2.
Yeah, yeah. £30 now, that. Plus postage.
Yeah, it's a fighting game.
With included, yeah. It Inuyasha. You know that...
Inuyasha's an anime.
It's an anime. Feudal Combat.
With the guy with red hair.
No, I think
he's wearing a red robe with white hair. Yeah.
So that's a fighting game that I was curious about. £16.21, postage included. I also bought Sonic Spinball on the Mega Drive. A game that, you know, as a Sonic fan, you'd think I'd own.
You don't?
I didn't.
Interesting.
So £6.60, including postage, was...
Seems like a good price.
Also, a game I don't own, but I do own, but I don't own this one. Sonic Adventure DX for the GameCube.
Oh, that's interesting.
The remake of Sonic Adventure. I never had it.
Which is better than Sonic Adventure, from what I hear.
Yeah, well, I technically already have it on Xbox, because, you know, when it was made downloadable.
Yeah.
I have that version.
Oh, okay.
That was always funny, that, because I got it on the Dreamcast Collection disc, and that was just the standard Sonic Adventure.
Yes.
And then they released a patch, you know, like an add-on for the game, where you could upgrade it to the director's cut.
Oh, interesting.
So I bought that as well. So then I had DX on the Xbox. But
you're future-proofing it.
I have it on the GameCube.
So you have a physical copy.
I do have a physical copy, yeah.
I bought that not long after I moved to Denmark, actually. I found it in the...
DX?
Yeah, I bought it on the GameCube for a little over £3, I think. I'm not sure if my copy's got a manual. But I picked it up the same day I got Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence for like 10 kroner. Mm. It was in that same shop.
Yeah, bargain. This was £10 with postage. That's too bad. So I think that's everything that I picked up.
Okay.
But, yeah.
My other game was technically free, but then I did pay 50 kroner to upgrade it to a physically owned copy without none of this free-to-play nonsense. That's a game probably a lot of people listening may have been playing. It's Pac-Man 256.
Oh, yeah.
256, of course, referring to the kill screen on the original Pac-Man. That is the final board where everything would go haywire and it's pretty much impossible to play. Essentially, the aim of the game is it's made by the good folks at Hipster Whale in cooperation with Bandai Namco and I believe a company called 3D Gear or something like that along those lines. But I will tell you in one moment what they're called.
I like the idea, the concept, to base it around the end of Pac-Man.
Well, yeah, it's an endless runner of Pac-Man, essentially. Yeah. I mean, which
it's like there is no end to Pac-Man. You've hit this number.
Three Sprocket, sorry, is the company's name.
Okay.
It's awesome. Essentially what it is they're taking the idea of Crossy Roads, which is in essence Endless Frogger, and then they're applying that to Pac-Man. And so the bottom of the screen is constantly becoming glitched numbers, as it would on 256 board of Pac-Man. And it's slowly crawling up and you're dodging ghosts and stuff who are coming near you in infinite succession. And
from an isometric angle.
Yes. There is a series of power-ups as well that you can unlock by playing the game more. You get more things on your board. And you can also collect credits in the same way you can in Crossy Road to improve these power-ups. Not anything aesthetic, though, which is quite interesting. Like, you can't put a bow on Pac-Man to become Miss Pac-Man or anything like that. Cool. It is literally Pac-Man. You can't upgrade him. So the credit system seems a bit wasted because there's the whole, hey, watch a video to earn credits. And it's like, well, they upgrade my things. You do the upgrade your power-ups.
Your power-ups.
But then you can't use your power-ups when they're upgrading. So I'm like, well, I don't really want to upgrade them. Oh, like, there's no real point. Odd. Yeah, it seems a bit odd. And then the weird thing is, you pay credits for it. Mm. Then you have to wait a certain amount of time. Like, the whole... That angle of it doesn't make any sense to me. But other than that, it's a very, very fun game. You can use those credits also to buy playtime. But it said, hey, unlimited credits for, like, 50 kroner. I was like, I'll have that. I'm going to play this game a lot. It'll be my new I need to pass 5 minutes game. So,
Oh, mine's Nyan Cat.
Nyan Cat.
Oh, Flappy Nyan.
Flappy Nyan. The best Nyan. The best Nyan-based Flappy Bird clone.
I say it. Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting how you really wanted a Flappy Bird to play.
Well, my old tablet had Flappy Bird on it when I bought it, which was, whoa, you know, that's quite good because you can't download it, I don't think,
really?
Anymore. No. So when my old tablet broke, I was still able to play Flappy Bird, but as long as I had the... it turned the right way around because only half the screen works, so I could still play it. But obviously, it's not something I want to use a lot now because it's broken. So
can you not just get the screen repaired?
I think it's quite pricey. For this particular model, because I went into Granger Games,
yes,
where a friend of ours works, Dave Jennings, and he was telling me about a fellow bus processor. They do this repair thing, but because it's like such a, it's not like an Apple Watch, it's not an
iPad.
An iPad. It's not an iPad. It's not a well-known brand.
Yeah.
That it's not. They can't do anything with it.
Okay.
They don't have the
parts.
The means.
Okay.
I don't know if there's probably other people who could have fixed it, but I thought, you know,
there's a shop right across the road from my house that can probably fix it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But was it work well? Anyway, I just got another one.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I got the Huddle tablet from Tesco. And that's really good. I recommend it. It's £100. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's very, very good screen. If I had any qualms with the last tablet I had, the screen wasn't that great.
Yeah.
This one, really good. In fact, very, very quality piece of equipment. And because I couldn't find Flappy Bird, I found Flappy Nyan Cat. And it's really good. So those who need a Flappy Bird fix, download that one.
I'm sure like a year ago we had a podcast where we took the piss out of the whole Flappy Bird thing.
Yeah.
And now you're here.
Once you get playing Flappy Bird,
oh, who cares about
it's endlessly
Flappy Bird.
Addictive. And this is much better because there's lots more graphical, nice graphics going on there and a lot more variety to the backgrounds.
Yeah, it's still Flappy Bird.
It's fun.
Ugh.
I'm playing some games that aren't, you know, not Flappy Nyan Cat. I had to go in Ollie Ollie 2 this morning.
Yeah.
This was a free PlayStation Plus game.
Yes, it was. I have it, but I have not played it.
Oh, I can't get to grips with the controls.
I don't really like Ollie Ollie, I got to be honest.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people love the game, and it's got a lot of potential for me. But it feels awkward. You know, you pull down, and then when you release that, you'll jump.
Yeah.
You press X to gain speed, and then... But if you want to do other tricks, you do... Well, you've got it pushed down, the stick, that is, you do like a quarter circle. And then when you jump, you'll do like another kind of move.
Yeah.
But you always have to remember to press X before you land, which is the bit that always gets me.
Yeah.
And I think maybe with a bit more practice, I get better at it. But I don't think it's that amazing.
Yeah.
Really, so far. Unless I have a sudden moment of
realization. I think it's one of those games where you either love it or you don't. I'm kind of in the ballpark of, this seems all right. But like...
I didn't pay any money for it.
No, exactly.
Other than my PlayStation Plus membership, so... play Smash Brothers again this week.
Yeah.
Online with my friend.
Still
Gareth
wanted to play Splatoon.
Yep. Yeah. Didn't last long until
Mario
we
Kart.
Moved on to Splatoon. I just can't get to grips with Smash Brothers. I think the only one I was ever able to get, you know, to get to grips with.
N64.
Well, that one. Yeah. And Brawl and Brawl as well. Something about Brawl. I don't know. What
I kind of fell off of Brawl. I didn't really like Brawl, to be honest.
I quite like using a D-pad for it. And, of course, I realised I can with the Wii U one.
Yeah.
You can use the Wii remote still. But what one thing I find is it's hard to control. You do a lot of jumping around. I find it hard to control the character. I find how they move, they're quite fast. And I always find the face in the wrong way and having to turn them round all the time. And for me, I'd like more of an emphasis on the fighting. And, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I can't control the character very well. I'm really trying, but I can't do it.
I just don't like it.
And we just get bored, me and Gareth, after a while. I said, well, we're not getting anything from this.
I've just come to terms with the fact that I'm just not good at Smash Brothers. This will be the last Smash Brothers game I buy.
Yeah.
I kind of got into it on the 3DS. It was more compact. There was less going on the screens because the levels were smaller, and I was kind of okay with that. But then when it got to the Wii U and it was a huge arena, then I mean,
some levels are virtually unplayable. Like the Donkey Kong stage on Smash Brothers for the Wii U. It's like you're thinking so much about staying on platforms that kind of overtakes from the actual fighting, and it just feels to me like a bit of a mess. But this is personal preference. I know a lot of people love Smash Brothers and great. But
I think a lot of those people don't play on those levels. I think they just play on the big arena and beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah. There you go. I much preferred playing Splatoon this week. I got back into it again. I realised I'm not bad at Splatoon.
Splatoon is a very accessible game.
And I was getting some of the highest scores in the games against some people online. And before, I was getting a little bit concerned that other people were just miles ahead of me on it. But I managed to somehow, the playing field seemed a little bit more even this time.
I just think it is with Splatoon. I don't think it's a game you can be amazingly good at.
I had the right loadout, the right power-ups with me, like special abilities. But Splatoon is a great game and really enjoyable online.
Agreed.
And so is Mario Kart 8.
Yes.
Which I play every week, of course. And I can't get enough of.
I played a bit more of Woolly World. We're almost at the end now. One thing I will say about that game, as much as I like it, playing as two players in these later levels seems to be a bit of a hindrance. Especially against bosses, like... Something that really annoys me about bosses as well is like the castle bosses all the way through the game, and I know they kind of did it in Super Mario Land 3 and stuff already, like Super Mario 3, sorry, not Land 3, where they repeat the same boss in the mid-game castle. I thought we were kind of over that now. They keep using the same mole as the mid-boss in the castles. They change it up every now and again with something else, but it's like, I fought this boss like four fucking times now. Like, it's starting to get to the point where it's just like, I wish they've done something else. It's starting to feel a bit lazy. Like, the level design around it seems fun, but I think I'm slowly getting to the point where jumping on a boss's head and then slamming it on the butt is a boring concept. I've done it too many times in too many games.
Are you quite through? What? Quite a way through the game?
There's only like six worlds, and we're on like halfway through the fifth.
Okay. So you're nearing the end anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I got another world, and I bet the next world will have the same boss, and there'll be a slight variation on it. And I'm like,
other than that, though?
Other than that, very enjoyable. It's getting pretty tricky, actually. There has been a few times where I've had to eat my girlfriend and then, like, do a very specific jumping plop. It's because there's no way you can do it with two people. Like, if accidentally I jump too fast or she jumps too fast, then one of us hits each other on the head, then they die, and then it's game over, and then the other person will be jump higher than they should have and then miss a platform or whatever. That's just an instant way to die and gets a little frustrating.
They find that in most co-op games. Yeah. Always a little bit. I mean, take Mario Brothers for the Wii.
Yeah.
Yeah, New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
It's definitely
really
that, hey, like, accidentally smack someone off a platformer, isn't this a good barrel of laughs, ha ha ha. And it's like, no, well, we're here to play together. I don't want to knock someone off a platform.
In fact, I can actually say something about New Speed Rivals in this respect, that when you're online and you're a police officer, for instance, there are other people, police officers, and maybe you're all going after the same car. That just becomes a mess because they're all smashing into you.
Yeah.
There's times when I've been destroyed by all the other cars just trying to get the other car and smashing into me.
That happens in Rocket League. I think that happens when anyone's driving towards one object in a game.
So that becomes a bit hazardous at times, but I can empathise with that
issue.
Yeah,
but it's a good game. I really enjoy it. I'm not to say anything bad against
I'd
the
game.
I'd
still love to get it at some point. And Kirby.
Kirby's on my list.
I saw it for £25 in the UK from HMV and I didn't pick it up.
I picked up Triple Deluxe for the 3DS finally. Yeah. I still haven't had a chance to play it. It's going to be in my commute bag this week, I think, because I'll be working a bit later, I think. Okay. But we'll see.
Let's say, Matt, one thing I noticed this week,
having
just installed New Speed Rivals on my PS4.
Yes.
I noticed half my hard drive space. I'm half full already.
My hard drive has been full for ages. I'm having to constantly delete things when I reinstall new things. I'm dreading Metal Gear because I will probably have to delete a lot of stuff off there.
I think Need for Speed's not too bad. It's like 17 gig. But then there's games like Shadow of Mordor and Mortal Kombat X, which are 30-odd gig of space that you have to take up. And it is a little bit concerning because you start to think like, well, maybe once I finish a game, I'll have to delete it from the hard drive. And I'm not someone who does complete a lot of games.
Yeah.
So I'm going to end up with all these games on my hard drive that I want to keep on there because I want to complete them. But I will probably have to end up, if I want to play something new, deleting them. And if I want to play the other game again, have to reinstall it.
I'm kind of doing that with my indie games. To be honest with you, I'm thinking of getting a solid state 2 terabyte hard drive and putting that in.
Yeah, it might become a necessity. I mean, even 1 terabyte is like, you know, maybe not even enough.
Yeah, I mean, like, I filled 500 quite easily. I imagine I would probably fill another 500 with the stuff I've deleted.
You think about the lifespan of these consoles. These consoles are said they're going to be around for a long while.
Yeah.
In that time, you're definitely going to fill up a 500 gig and 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Just like that.
Yeah.
And not a lot of games.
And the PS4 doesn't have the luxury the Xbox does, that everything you download and play for the Xbox One is backed up automatically to the cloud.
Automatically.
Yeah, so if you were to want to get your games from the cloud, you could. Apparently, it's very slow game. To download.
Because I know it has a...
But I mean all your saves and stuff.
Yeah, but you can set that up on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, but you haven't got unlimited cloud storage space.
Oh, it's not unlimited, that's right. No. There's a certain amount of space, yeah.
And I mean, I know that's kind of a necessity because of how the Xbox One handles its hard drive space, but... And admittedly, I mean, like Microsoft... have that hierarchy in place for a lot more things than just this console, but apparently I was reading an article and it wouldn't really be that much of a hassle for Sony to set up. They just haven't chosen to.
Maybe it will happen eventually. I hope.
Well, it'll have to, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. It is a concern.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else to add to the agenda? I don't think so. Not that I've... I mean, I could go back in time and talk about when I was on holiday and some of the other games that I didn't mention last time that I picked up. But I think, you know, let's not go back. Let's look forward to the future.
I will briefly touch upon something I said at the end of the last week's podcast that I would talk about. I went to Spain. I went into Alicante while I was in Spain and we drove to a town called Valencia. It's a very wonderful city. I recommend if you're going to go to Spain... go Valencia over Alicante, not a lot to do there. Very nice, but very touristy at the same time. Not a lot of action, not a lot of nightlife, not a lot of anything going on. So we took the hour drive to Valencia from Alicante, and while we were there, I happened to find a retro game shop. Now, very cool shop, a lot of stuff, but items are just so randomly priced. Like, there was, like, PSP RPGs and, like, PS2 games that were like 70, 80 euro with no real rhyme or reason to it.
It frustrates me when I see it in Denmark.
Yeah.
You know, I can't understand the pricing on some of these games.
And then, like, there was a few there. Like, there were a few that were all right. Like, Hyperstone Heist was there for 60 euro, so about 40 quid, which is an okay price.
Really?
That's a lot. Trust me, goes for more than that these days.
Well, I have it.
I know you do, but Mega Drive games are on the rise, Tom. That copy of Separation Anxiety I have that was worth 80 quid last year is now worth about 150. Mega Drive games are going up, my friend.
What about your Mega Turrican?
My Mega Turrican's worth about 120 quid as well. Mm-hmm. Well, this is like highest buy it now prices I'm seeing at the moment. They're probably selling for a little bit less than that. But I've seen a copy of Separation Anxiety go for about 130 quid recently.
I would never do it.
No, neither would I. But people that close to the end of their collections, these are very rare games, even though I've seemingly managed to get 2 copies of Separation Anxiety, are willing to pay these things. I don't know. Like, I was never willing to pay more than the 80-odd euro I spent on Trip World for that game. That's why I bought it at that price, because it's worth even more now. It's worth about 300 quid. It's insane.
Mm. Still, 60 quid's the most I've spent on the game.
But anywho, they had a few other games there. They had a copy, actually, of... Wily Wars for the Mega Drive.
Willy Wars?
Wily. And I picked it up and I thought, shit. Well, I saw it behind the glass cabinet and I got the guy to hand it to me.
Oh, so you touched it.
And I thought, shit, I'm going to buy this. This is €100, but I really want this game. And I'd recently seen it on eBay sell for €300. I thought, fuck, I'm having this. Euro. I really like Mega Man. It's not supposed to be the best remake of 1, 2, and 3, but I want it. And I picked it up, and I looked at the case. And I was like, this is a bit shiny. Huh? And I opened it up, and lo and behold, the box and the manual were reproductions. Guy behind the counter didn't say anything. I said, oh, these reproduction box and manual. And he goes, looked at it, and he goes, oh, yeah, they are, good eye, ha ha. And I was like, okay, I'm not buying anything in this fucking shop then.
Yeah.
Like, if this is, and you weren't going to tell me this was a reproduction.
He hadn't maybe realised himself.
Perhaps he didn't. But, like, it was almost like a ha 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 ha, yeah, okay, I'll put it back on the shelf kind of thing. Yeah. And I was like, fuck me. Like, they had
maybe he knew that's why it was priced lower than you'd seen it before.
Perhaps. But I mean, like, they had Castlevania Bloodlines, or New Generation, as it's called in Europe, there for, like, €60, which I was tempted by, and that looked legit. And a few other bits and bobs, but I didn't end up buying anything. Like, I usually tend to buy one thing or whatever, but they gave me this whole, like, I said, hey, the only game I need in that cabinet for the Game Boy is a Game Boy Color version of Powerpuff Girls. I'll buy it because I want to support the shop, because generally it seemed like a really nice shop. And he goes, oh yeah, sorry, you've got like €20 minimum spend on a card, which is bullshit. And I was like, oh, if this is the attitude you're going to have, then I won't.
€20?
So, yeah, minimum spend. And I asked him how much was a boxed copy of Wario Land 4, and they wanted €40 for it. And I was like, okay, no, I'm not buying this. I'm not supporting your shop if it's got that ridiculous prices. Yeah. But
I had ridiculous prices.
Ridiculous prices, Tom. Not good.
I thought you sent me a link to that Multi Mega today.
I did.
I wouldn't.
No.
It's too much for
not
me.
Not for £200.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the going rate is for them nowadays, but I have decided I wouldn't spend more than 100 on one of them. I doubt I'll ever get one for 100.
I doubt you will too.
Especially since I noticed that now on eBay at least, people trying to sell Mega Drive ones with the original Mega CD for 150.
Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's shocking considering I got my Mega CD for about £50.
Yeah.
Not so long ago either.
Yeah, yeah. And no, I remember.
And that boost, that rise in price so quickly. The Mega Drive itself, that's not worth anything.
Tom, Sega's going up. See, like, if honestly, I recommend to you, if you have games you want to get on the Sega Mega Drive now, you should probably look at buying them now.
Yeah.
Next 2 or 3 years, they will be Super Nintendo prices, I guarantee. They're already on their way there now.
Yeah. Well, as far as Mega Drive go, I'm not really collecting Mega Drive games. I've not really got a focus on them. Yeah, I mean, my list.
Yeah.
I've not delved into retro.
Yeah. But I dare I say, I think you should, because the prices are only going to rise.
Yeah, but I'm trying not to find things that I want on those consoles anymore. I'm not looking, let's just say.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll see a video somewhere, or there'll be some review online of a retro game. I say, oh, I really want to play that. But for me, I'm looking at like the 16-bit, 8-bit, more nostalgia than anything. Let's keep it with maybe those memories that I had as a kid. I don't know. I'm just wary of getting into collecting for that, as you say.
Yeah.
Expensive.
I'm sticking to handhelds. I've said this a few times now. Like, I was reading a very, very interesting article on the Virtual Boy. I'll link you and I'll put it in the description, talking about how the hardware came about. And actually, it's from America, believe it or not. There's an American company who invented the technology behind the Virtual Boy, okay, with the LEDs and the flickering mirrors. They made a PC peripheral called the Private Eye, and the idea of it was that before laptops had screens, they were going to have this thing that would project a visual screen from your laptop.
Okay.
But no one was really interested in the technology, because they were like, oh, well, screens will get better, la-da-da, and then Gunpei Yokoi saw this and thought he could do something with it. But, like, I was looking at some of the emulated, well, I assume emulated images they had accompanying the article, like animated things. I really like the look of that console. I really can't wait to get home and actually play it properly. Like, I enjoyed playing Mario Tennis when I played it at EGX last year.
Yeah.
Looking forward to trying some of the other titles, like Terrier or Boxer and stuff. I don't know if I'd be able to play it for long, but I think I may actually have a way of capturing it and exporting the video without fucking up my eyes, so I'll be able to play it for a bit longer. So we'll have to see. But, like, I look at that. I look at things for the new Geo Pocket Color, like some RPGs on there that I wouldn't mind trying. Mm. Some Game Boy Color games, a lot of Game Boy Advance titles as well that I wouldn't mind. So I'm like, who knows? I think I'm going to stick to handheld for a long time now.
Yeah, I'm sticking to the few, that N64, Dreamcast, Xbox, PS1. I've got quite a big PS2 collection. I'm not sure there's much else that I want on that console.
I looked at my PS2 list on Retrocollect the other day because I've been keeping it quite up to date. 148 games for my PS2.
Mm.
Played like two PS2 games in the last year, like, other than the Phoenix games, which are amazing. But I bought,
say that with some,
I actually got a Monster Truck game by Phoenix that I will show you at this podcast. I can't remember the name of, but that looked pretty good. Anyways, let's wrap this up. If you have enjoyed this podcast, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TomandMattAttack. You can find us on Twitter at TMAcast. You can also find us in iTunes, where you can listen to this podcast, as well as on blastprocess.com. While you're in iTunes, download some podcasts, give us a rate, give us a cheeky subscribe.
Yeah, make it a cheeky rate and subscribe. Yeah.
Yes, do both of those things. Tick one off and go, oh, have I been cheeky enough with the subscribe? Click it again. Maybe make another iTunes account. Subscribe to us that way.
Oops.
One for your personal pleasure and one for your friends. Right, okay. That's enough babbling.
Thank you for joining us.
Have a lovely week in gaming, everybody. And game on.
Game on.